Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of his imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, today we are studying the connection between the city of Babylon 4,500 years ago and a future city of Babylon that will be in operation as the economic headquarters of the world just prior to the return of Jesus Christ. However, before we start our study on economic Babylon, I need to show you how the Lord has used the city of Babylon down through the centuries. Let me set the scene. It's about 2,500 years ago, and the Assyrians, an ancient biblical people, the Assyrians were in charge of the known world. Meanwhile, on the shores of the Euphrates River, in what is today Iraq, there was another ancient nation called Babylon. Our study today tells how this world power became a mighty nation and then was defeated, yet to come back to power. Let's look back just for a moment to the time of Nimrod, who was the great-grandson of Noah. Nimrod asked the age-old question, when told to do something by God, what and why? We'll see how that question was answered in just a moment.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
But what does Nimrod want to do? He wants to build a city. Build a city, Babylon. It's the beginning of his kingdom. Now, this is the prototype. This is going to set the stage for what's going to happen in the end time. What's going to take place is there's going to be another Babylon. Let me talk with you about Babylon present. And when I say present, not at the time of 4,500 years ago in Nimrod. The next time we talk about Babylon in the Bible is about 2,000 years later, after Nimrod, 2,500 years ago, the times of Nebuchadnezzar. That's when we see Babylon coming into focus once again. Nebuchadnezzar was the crown prince of the Babylonian kingdom. It wasn't the kingdom of the world, it was a small kingdom. The leader of the world that time, and actually Babylon, came under the leadership of the Assyrian Empire. You do realize that there were two Gentile world powers before Babylon, the Egyptian Gentile world power, and they took the Jews into captivity and to bondage for about a 400-year period of time. And then they were defeated by the Assyrian Empire. And the Assyrians, their capital city, by the way, was Nineveh. Nineveh, up the road from Babylon, both of them in modern-day Iraq. Nineveh is Mosul in northern Iraq today. And so Nineveh, the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, and they were controlling the known world. The Babylonians wanted to take charge of this situation. So the crown prince, king of Babylon, the father of Nebuchadnezzar, sent him forth to try to see if they could defeat the Assyrians. They started going west. Meanwhile, the Egyptians, who had been defeated by the Assyrians but wanted to assist, they start out of northern Africa, the continent of northern Africa. They start up through that land bridge, which is Israel, and they're going up and for the purpose of joining with the Assyrians to defeat the Babylonians. At this point in time, King Josiah, he was the king of Judah, the two tribes that stayed in the south. Remember, in 722, the Assyrians had taken the 10 tribes into captivity. We're now talking about almost 100 years later, and here is Egypt going up to help the Assyrians. King Josiah goes to the tip of the Jezreel Valley, and he is endeavoring to try to stop the Egyptians so that the Babylonians won't have as much difficulty with the Assyrians, and he gets killed, an untimely death. He wasn't doing what God wanted him to do. God had another plan. That was a mighty king. He was one of the great kings of Judah, but he was out of God's will at that time. Anyway, the Egyptians get up there. They join with the Assyrians. Nebuchadnezzar comes across. He wipes out the Assyrians. And then he's pushing the Egyptians back down that land bridge into northern Africa. And as he gets down there, he turns around and starts up the Via Maris. The Via Maris, the way of the sea, is the transportation route that takes him up by the Mediterranean coast. And on his return, he hears that his father has died. Now he is the king of the Babylonian people. He cuts across where about Tel Aviv is today. Jaffa was the location. He cuts across going eastward because it's a faster route. Go straight across. You don't have to go up the triangle. Go up over the Fertile Crescent in Syria and come down. He's going to go straight across over to Babylon because now he has to get back. He's the leader of the Babylonian people. He starts across, and guess what? He has to go through Jerusalem. When he enters Jerusalem, he sees this temple. Well, he should have seen it. It was about 15 stories high. It was majestic on the Jerusalem skyline. This is the temple that Solomon built. It was beautiful, unbelievable. He saw these Jews worshiping and offering sacrifice and worshiping a God he had never heard about. He said, what in the world is this? He says, you know, if I'm going to be the king of the Babylonian Empire, I better make sure that I can control these people. We've defeated the Egyptians. We defeated the Assyrians. I don't know who these Jews are, but I'm going to take me a couple of hostages to make sure that I keep them under control. And so he took four boys from the royal family in Jerusalem. He takes them back into the captivity. That's Daniel chapter 1. He's going to bring these four boys in. He's going to use them to train them up in the ways of the Chaldeans. He's going to make them a part of his wise men, the counselors to King Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel ultimately becomes the number three in the Babylonian Empire. And then when Nebuchadnezzar dies under Belshazzar, his grandson, Daniel becomes number two. And the other boys, Ananias, Azariah, and Mishael, they become powerful leaders in the Babylonian Empire as well. And so his plan worked. And as we see, the first siege of the city of Jerusalem and the taking away of those four young men. That was 605 B.C. 597 B.C. now, Nebuchadnezzar comes back. He goes into Jerusalem. He takes Ezekiel and about 10,000 Jews with him. They go back out of Jerusalem, back into Babylon. They go to the Chebar River, Ezekiel chapter 1. The Chebar River is a tributary off the Euphrates River. And there Ezekiel is staying with these 10,000, teaching them, giving them prophecy about what is going to happen. He's going to make a third siege, and that will be 586 B.C. Nebuchadnezzar comes in on Tish B'Av, 586 B.C. Let me show you what he does. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. He is going to destroy the temple. This is the third wave. He's going to come in. He's going to kill a third of the Jews. He's going to burn a third of the Jews in the destruction of the temple and the city. And he's going to take a third of the Jews back into the Babylonian captivity. That's the fulfillment of the prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 5. Start here in verse 18, 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and his princes, all of these were brought to Babylon. And they burned the house of God, and they break down the walls of Jerusalem, and burned all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away into Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Now, you know why this took place? Because God had told the Jewish people, the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 23, he said, this is my land. In verses 20 to 23, he said, I want you to rest this land that I have given you every 7 years. Give it a Shabbat. Give it a sabbatical. Don't raise any food during that year. In the sixth year, I'll give you enough products to take care of you through the seventh year into the eighth year when you can start raising crops again. But give it a sabbatical. The Jewish people did not do that. And they did not do that. They did not give the land a sabbatical for 490 years. Divide 7 into 490, you get 70. Look here, verse 21. He did this to fulfill the word of the Lord from the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, for as long as she lay desolate, she keepeth Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. He was talking about Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 9, and chapter 29, verse 10. That was the passage that Daniel was reading in chapter 9 and verse 2 when he determined where he was in God's time. He knew he left at 15 years of age, at 85 years of age. He reads Jeremiah and he says, wow, that's 70 years ago this started. Okay, I know where we are now in biblical history. and in God's plan for the future. Read Bible prophecy, you can understand exactly where you are. And so it was that Nebuchadnezzar comes in. He takes all the vessels that were used, dedicated for the services at the temple, takes them back, puts them in his temple, burns down the city, burns down the temple, kills a third of the people, takes the other third into the captivity. 586 BC, that's the Babylonian captivity. Babylon is going to be defeated, though. Do you know what Babylon was like? It was a twin city to Nineveh. And both of these cities had two walls around the city. The two walls were 100 feet high, 50 feet wide. You could race two chariots down the tops of the wall. Between the two walls, they had a moat full of alligators. The way they would supply their water in Babylon was that the Euphrates River flowed under the northern wall and flowed out the southern wall. They tell us, the researchers who've done work on this, that they had enough food in Babylon to supply their needs for a 20-year period of time. It was an impregnable city. If you're going to capture the city, you had to scale a wall straight up for 100 feet, go across 50 feet, scale the wall down 100 feet, swim the moat full of alligators, climb up the wall 100 feet, go across, climb down the wall 50 feet. You're in the city, said, we're here to capture you. Man, it was an impregnable city. Do you remember chapter 5 of the book of Daniel? The Babylonian Empire is going to fall that night. What were they doing? Belshazzar, grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, is now the leader. Daniel is number 2 in the Babylonian kingdom. Belshazzar decides to have a party for a bunch of his cronies. He invites 1,000 of his cronies in. They bring their concubines. They're having a great time. And Belshazzar says, where are those vessels that my granddaddy brought from that temple in Jerusalem? Get them over here. And they bring the Mizrach. You know what the Mizrach is? It's a pitcher-shaped item made out of pure gold and pure silver. It's what they would put the sacrificial blood in. They had 4,000 of them. Bring them over here, and they get them over there, and they fill them with their wine, and they're having a drunken party. Meanwhile, the Medes have gone north on the Euphrates River. The Persians have gone south on the Euphrates River. They dammed up the rivers from the north and from the south. That laid a beautiful dry tunnel underneath the wall. And so while the party's going on, the Medes and the Persians walk into the city. They see this man wandering in the streets. Where's the party? In that palace over there. All right. And they killed old Belshazzar and the Babylonians. And the Babylonian Empire fell that night. Did you hear what I said? The Babylonian Empire fell that night. Let me say it again. The Babylonian Empire fell that night. Why'd you say that 3 times, Jimmy? I want you to know the Babylonian Empire fell that night. But listen, the Babylonian city did not fall. The Babylonian city did not fall, and that is key.
It is indeed key to understanding Bible prophecy to know that the city of Babylon did not fall when defeated by the Medes and the Persians 2,500 years ago. The Babylonian Empire fell, but the city of Babylon did not fall. And in fact, Babylon, the city, has never been completely destroyed. This is a very important fact in understanding the plan that God has for the city of Babylon in the future, as foretold in Revelation 18. More on that in another study. Next week, we continue our study on the city of Babylon as we see the stage being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Please be sure to join us for our next study. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. If you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...